In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day. This is Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I need to say a couple of things about finances, because in the mail last month, we received less money than we have ever received. We were $20,000 behind all the money that came in the mail. $20,000 was lacking. And so I say to you people that if you want these broadcasts to continue, I really need to hear from you. You know that I do not do this often. You know that I'm not there bantering for money. You know that's real. But last month, through the mail, there was a deficit of $20,000. And so I say to you that if you want this broadcast to continue, then you need to support it. Because I will not go in debt, because I am not inclined to go into debt, because I'm not a radio person. I'm a priest. I have a parish. I have people calling me from all around the country that need help, and I am not a fundraiser. So if you want this broadcast to continue on WROL and WEZE in St. Louis and all the other areas that I'm in Iowa and wherever I am, in the western part of the state, in Hartford, Connecticut, in wherever I am, in Fairfax, in Phoenix, Arizona, wherever I am, in Louisiana, then I really need to hear from you, because you know what? I will not be in debt, and it's that simple. And I will go off stations if I have to, because you know why? I will not be in debt. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. One more time. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. The Lord has always supplied before, and I'm trusting Him. But you know what? Please help so that we can continue these Catholic Evangelical Bible outreach. You know why? Because we're the only one of its kind. So do the best you can. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. I'm reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Everyone knows the sixth chapter about the devil, but I'm not going to be reading about the devil. I'm going to be reading about after Paul talks about putting on the whole armor of salvation. Starting with the 18th verse, "Pray at all times in the Holy Spirit with all prayer and supplication." I truly believe he means to pray in tongues. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. That means we pray for each other. And also for me, for Paul, that utterance may be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So St. Paul is asking people, and really telling people, that they should pray at all times in the Holy Spirit, with prayer and supplications, you know, moaning and groaning to the Lord, especially now in the situation that the United States is in, especially now with the economy, especially now with the coming election, especially now that we have spit in God's face and killed millions and millions and millions of children, and nobody cares. Nobody cares. Very few care. So, you know, we should be praying in the Holy Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Why? Because we are under the judgment of God, believe me. Let me tell you, as I told you before, that judgment begins with the house of God. God has already begun to judge the church. And I also told you many times, after he judges the church, and when he judges the church, then he will judge the world. And always the judgment will be where our heart is, and our heart is in our pocketbook. So our pocketbooks will be judged. I said this in 1990. I knew this to be true. The judgment would begin with the church. I had no idea it would be a priest scandal. But I tell you, it has emptied the coffers of many dioceses. You know why? Because our hearts were in our pocketbooks. Where your treasure is, there lies your heart. And if the church's heart was in its pocketbook, what about the world? It's all about money. The world is about money. Money equals power. That's just the way it is. Let me tell you, we should be praying in the Spirit with all supplication, because judgment will hit the world in our pocketbooks. We need to pray that God would remember mercy in his judgment. We cannot stop the judgment of God. Honest, we have gone beyond the point of elasticity. You know what that means? You take an elastic and you pull it. And as you pull it, it reaches a point that it breaks. We have gone beyond the point of elasticity. We have broken the elastic. Let me tell you that we are under the judgment of God. Let us pray that God would give us mercy in judgment, that he would remember mercy in judgment. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. That means don't fall asleep. That means have your Bible in one hand and look at the news in terms of the scripture. Keep alert with all perseverance. Don't think that a $750 billion giveaway is going to do it. Keep alert. Keep alert. Find your knees. Find your knees. Learn to pray. Learn to fast, making supplication for all the saints that we be faithful. Let me tell you, I'm going to tell you, my friends, that if everything collapses, I'm going to tell you what they will aim after will be the faithful people. Will be the faithful people. I've said this before, I'll say it again. What if it means in the United States of America, your Social Security check or your faithfulness to Jesus Christ? How many people would give up their Social Security check? You know, I don't know how many. Because people depend upon that. What if it means that? To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for God's people, the saints. Praying for the saints. We should be praying for each other. Especially we should be praying for those people that are persecuted for the sake of Christ. In the United States, there is very little persecution at this point. But there are people that are dying every single day because they love Jesus Christ. They're in third world countries. We find them in Nigeria. Just a couple of weeks ago, Father Mark was killed. We find them in India. Just a few weeks ago, Father Thomas was killed. And churches have been ravaged. Let me tell you this. We should be making supplication for the saints. Because there are people that are paying the supreme price to follow Jesus. And we don't even think about them, because you know what? It's all about you and it's all about me. It's about what we have in our wallets. When our brothers and sisters are giving their lives for Jesus Christ, praying for the priests that have been literally stockpiled in China for years and years and years. Who remembers those poor men? Who remembers them, that they would be faithful in the in the experience of persecution. Because you see, we're all so very smug about our own lives. Our faith does not go beyond our families for the most part. I tell you, there are brothers and sisters who are saints, who are being persecuted, and they are dying in Morocco, in Muslim countries. That's real. That's real. In Hindu countries. These things are happening. And who is making supplication for them and their families? Who is remembering those people that are in jail? As Paul said, you know, remember me, I who am a prisoner and an ambassador in chains. How many people are in chains today and in prison because they love the name of Jesus and you won't even give your tithe? Isn't that interesting? How many people are in chains and have died for Christ in this current time, and you won't even get to church? You know why? Because we were taught it's all about you and it's all about me. And I'm telling you, the church is bigger than the USA. The church is bigger than Europe. I'm telling you, the church is universal, one holy, Catholic, and apostolic, making supplication for the saints. And then he says, and also for me. Why? That the utterance may be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Pray for me, St. Paul says, that I may preach the gospel, that God would give me the words to preach the mystery of the cross, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and the power of the Spirit. Pray for me. I need your prayers. And let me tell you, pray for me, Father Tom, that the utterance would be given to me, that God would open new doors, that I would preach the mystery of the gospel of Jesus, boldly but lovingly, to proclaim the power of the cross, boldly but lovingly, in new markets, with new people, with young people. Listen, how many years do I have left? I have no idea. Father Joshi says, 131, I'm going to die at 131. I don't think so. But the point is this. I want to open my mouth boldly and proclaim the mystery of the gospel to as many people as I can before I stop breathing. Before God takes me, I want new avenues to preach the gospel. I want that people would hear and be saved, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I ask for prayers that God would open doors that only He can open, because God is so powerful. I say this very humbly, because you know what? I have an avenue to preach the gospel via radio, but not only via radio, via other places. And I need the supplication of the saints. I need that the saints of God, you, would pray and fast, that I would make disciples, that before I die, there'll be disciples that would follow me that would be much greater than I. Because if we are living in tumultuous times, my friend, when I kick off into glory by the grace of God, it's going to be a lot worse. This is not a threat. It's a promise. This is a promise. And you know, I need that God would send me the right men, the right women that would be disciples, that would become, you know, gung-ho for the kingdom in the light of persecution, in the light of anguish, in the light of being deprived. I tell you, it's very important. We are dealing with heaven and hell. We are dealing with eternal experiences. People don't believe in hell, but let me tell you, it's a reality. It's a reality that the utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. I'm going to take you now to Colossians 4, 2 to 4. Colossians 4, 2 to 4. And this is another important scripture. See, St. Paul was never satisfied. St. Paul, even when he was in chains, he was in jail, and he was never satisfied. People would come to him while he was under house arrest. Colossians 2. I should say Colossians 4, 2 to 4. Okay, I'm going to look at it right now. And here it is. St. Paul says in the letter to the Colossians, continue steadfastly in prayer. Same thing. Being watchful in prayer with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. He adds that. And pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may speak it clear as I ought to speak. So Paul, even in prison, even in chains, and why was he in chains? Because he proclaimed Jesus Christ. Those days are coming. And the scripture says, pray for us, not only him, but his disciples, like Timothy, that God may open to us a door for the word of God, to declare the mystery of Christ, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord and the power of the Spirit. And that great mystery is that the mystery of Christ, faith in Christ Jesus, is to the Jew first and then to the Greek. And then he says, as I've declared this mystery of Christ, on account of it, I am in prison, that I may make it clear as I ought to speak. So, you know, it is vital that the gospel go out to the whole world, because Jesus said this gospel must be proclaimed to the whole world before he comes back again. That's one of the things that need, the gospel needs to be proclaimed to the whole world before he returns. He says that. He will not return until the gospel is proclaimed. And I'll tell you, people will reject it. We're talking yesterday about what happened at an abortion mill. Two things happened, one on Tuesday, one on Wednesday. We'll do the one on Wednesday first. They were at Planned Parenthood on Wednesday. There was a young man putting money in his parking meter. Eleanor and Eric went up to him and told him, we can help you go in after your woman, and we will be able to help you. He just ignored them, and they kept it up. We can help you. Don't let this happen today. We can help you. Don't let this happen today. And they went on in love talking to him. 10 minutes later, 5 minutes later, 3 minutes later, he came down with the woman. They went over to a woman's concern. They saw the ultrasound of the baby. They ended up smiling and smiling and smiling. They planned on keeping the baby. Okay, isn't that wonderful? They accepted the message of life. But on Tuesday, again, Eleanor was there on Tuesday, and there was a man who knew her. Hi, Eleanor, I know you from so-and-so. And he stated the place where he knew her from. So Eleanor said, why are you here? He says, well, I brought this person here, my girlfriend here. And Eleanor just said, you know what? You've got to go and get her. You've got to go and get her. This is your baby. You've got to go and get her. And you know what? He went up to get her. They showed her pictures of the baby. But you know what? She said, no, I'm going to have the abortion. Some people will receive the message of salvation. Some people will reject it. Just as some people receive the message of life, and some people reject it. But there are consequences in rejecting the message of salvation, as there are consequences in rejecting the message of life. Yes, that second woman was probably thinking, and I'll tell you what she was thinking. I have to bring up a child for 18 years. I'm not ready. The young man said, I can't stay with her any longer if she's going to kill this child. But you want to know what? If Eleanor wasn't there talking to him, he never would have had that point of view. And let me tell you how they kill the child, okay? I call it designer killing. Designer killing. Because she wasn't pregnant very long, they give her a pill to take in the abortion mill, and then one in the morning, and she'll have a miscarriage. That baby will be taken out of her womb. It's a designer abortion. And unfortunately, that woman will have to live with that for the rest of her life. It's very pathetic. You see, some people accept the message of life, not many, and some people reject it. The gospel must be proclaimed throughout the earth. Some people will reject it. Other people will accept it. It is not up to us to have people accept or reject. It is up to us to preach it with love and to pray that doors will be open, that we would proclaim the word of God boldly but with love, so that people would come to know the Father's only Son, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the Father, the only begotten of God, the Holy One of Israel. I want to just tell you, the pulpits have been gagged. For every one good priest that preaches the gospel, you have 70 that don't have a clue. Now that is just my thought. I did not take a Gallup poll. I just know that I've been preaching on the radio for 25 years, and I hear the complaints of the people, and they keep on telling me that their priests talk about psychological gobbledygook, and they're not talking about Jesus. How can you talk about Jesus if you don't have a relationship with him? How can you talk about Jesus if he's not your life? How can you talk about Jesus if you haven't surrendered your life to him? How can you talk about Jesus if you're not walking in the Spirit? How can you talk about Jesus if you're not continually repentant of your sins? How can you talk about Jesus if you're not living a spiritual life? How can you talk about Jesus if you're living in the world, and not only are you in it, but you're of it? How can you talk about Jesus when even clergy, now Catholic, Protestant, they're all alike, you know, we're all alike, are seeking the higher places rather than the places of service? How can you talk about Jesus? And even if you want to and you're not living right, the devil will be there saying, you hypocrite. I tell you, he's told me I was a hypocrite too, but you know what? I preach it anyway. Even when I'm a hypocrite, because even when I'm a hypocrite, I have to proclaim the word of God, because it's salvation to those who believe. Not that I should ever aim for hypocrisy. No devil from hell is going to intimidate me from preaching the gospel. No devil from hell gonna make me think that because of my sin, I have to shut my mouth. Listen, no devil from hell will ever intimidate me by the grace of God. I've been intimidated long enough. No more. Now that doesn't mean that I aim for hypocrisy. Oh no. And when I am a hypocrite, I need to confess it and repent of it. But I'm not going to be intimidated by the demonic. There are so many priests that have been intimidated by the demonic. So many ministers. Who are you to say these things? I'll tell you who I am. I am an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. He chose me for better or for worse. If I do not proclaim it, I will go to hell. If I proclaim it and I don't live it, I will go to hell, but people will still be saved. That's why we need to pray that for the preachers that open doors would be given to us, that we would live chaste and holy lives, that our life would be wrapped up in Christ Jesus and in His blood, that we would love people enough as to tell them the truth. My friends, pray that an open door would be given to me. I need to announce that on the October 11th at the Don Arione Shrine, 8 o'clock in the morning is registration. Going to be a great charismatic hoopla, let me tell you. And let me tell you that it's going to be great. It's Don Arione Shrine in East Boston, Massachusetts. And it's going to be multicultural, many different music ministries. Father Paco's going to be there. He's going to be the preacher. Let me also tell you again that we will have a surprise mass today at Holy Rosary Thursday at 4:30 in the afternoon. You're welcome. And there will also be another mass tonight at Holy Rosary at 7:30. So you can take your choice. 4:30 in the afternoon, surprise mass, and 7:30 this evening. Silent no more. If people who have had abortions and you've been sitting on it and you've been suffering, you need to call this number. 617-734-1502. 617-734-1502. Silent no more. You need to get rid of that guilt and torment because God loves you and He wants to heal you. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.